This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. How are you, Vic?
Hi, Kath. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to chat to you.
It's lovely to hear from you too. Vic, let's talk. You guys have just observed Anzac Day, haven't you?
We have indeed, yesterday.
So what is Anzac Day?
So Anzac is an acronym for Australia New Zealand Armoured Corps. And it refers colloquially, but also formally, to the soldiers who have fought for Australia and New Zealand in various theatres of war. And that is what is commemorated yesterday, to honour all the servicemen and women who have ever represented who fought for Australia and New Zealand in any wars. And the reason that the date is chosen, which is always April 25, yesterday, was that was the day when Australians suffered horrendous losses in Turkey in a battle called Gallipoli against Turkish forces in World War I. And so that has become like a leitmotif, a symbol, if you like, of the commitment of Australian New Zealand forces. And there's very strong Jewish components to all of the above in two ways. One is that in World War I, Australians volunteered for military service, to fight in World War I. And the Jewish volunteers, the percentage of Jewish volunteers way exceeded, in fact, the percentage from across the board of civil society. So there was a very strong Jewish involvement. And the second part of that is, in 1917, Australian forces fought a critical battle in Beersheba, of all places, and there were 800 Australians on horseback. And on horseback with swords, they overran 4,000 Turkish forces who had machine guns and all sorts of armoured emplacements. And the Australians on horseback won that battle, liberated Beersheba, which was a key battle in then the Allied forces then winning and taking control of that part of the world, World War One. So absolutely a critical battle, and just a couple of years ago, in fact, 2017, so 5 years ago now, time travels quickly, there was a commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Beersheba, and many Australians went over to commemorate the fighting and the victory which Australian soldiers had in liberating Beersheba in World War One. So a strong Jewish component to it, as this whole country, and there was also a service held by Jewish military ex-servicemen and women to pause and to pay respect to those that fought for this country and for New Zealand in wherever that happened to be necessary.
So Vic, aside from the military, does the general population participate in these ceremonies to honour the fallen soldiers?
Very, very much so. And right across the country, in big cities and little small towns, dawn and pre-dawn services are held where moving speeches are given and candlelight ceremonies are held and the singing, playing the last post on bugles, etc. So right across the country, people stop and then yesterday also quite powerfully, there was this rumble in the sky and World War II vintage aircraft had a fly past, etc. So the whole country very much doesn't come to a halt, is an overstatement, but very much pauses to honour all of those who have fought for this country.
Incredible.
And in fact, just the last thing before leaving the subject, is that those who were honoured yesterday included servicemen and women who served in the war in Afghanistan as part of the Australian forces. And in fact, the last Australian to lose his life in Afghanistan, his name was Greg Scher, his parents, former South Africans. And Greg was volunteered in the Australian Army and tragically lost his life some years ago now, about 10 years ago now, in the war in Afghanistan. And like I say, his parents, former South Africans, Felix Scher, his father.
Okay. Interesting, though. Very interesting. Vic, Jewish Aboriginal Program is marking its 15th anniversary. What is the Jewish Aboriginal Program?
So this is an inspiring program. It started this at the University of New South Wales. There are many residential colleges. One of them is called Shalom College, which is obviously from within the Jewish community, and a residential college. But the students or residents there are not only Jewish. In fact, the majority are not even Jewish. And attached to this, 15 years ago, a couple of the leaders of Shalom College came up with this brilliant idea to raise funds to give residential scholarships to Aboriginal kids from regional parts of the country who could not otherwise afford the fees to stay in a residential college in the heart of Sydney. And this has been, what is so inspiring about this particular program is that the Aboriginal kids, students who have received these scholarships have come from impoverished backgrounds, horrendous backgrounds, and basically it's given them a chance of life which they otherwise would not have had. And in the 15 years, there have been 60 graduates, Aboriginal graduates, and I'm talking doctors, I'm talking physicians and engineers. So all the professions have been populated by Aboriginal graduates as a direct result of this program. It's called the Shalom Gamarada program, Gamarada being an Aboriginal word. And it just last week marked its 15th year and took in another 6 students. So it's a tremendous program and it's just wonderful, a great Jewish Aboriginal connection. And there are many close synergies between the Jewish and Aboriginal communities. The connection to land, tragically, both of whom have experienced a genocide.
Yeah.
And the importance of family, et cetera, et cetera. So just great to see how 15 years later, this program is literally changing lives.
What is Australia's relationship with, you know, the Indigenous Aborigines? And I know that sounds like a weird question, but, you know, if one looks at the United States and one looks at the Native Americans, you know, it's people who, they live in reservations, they live in these, you know, often very much debilitated by drug addiction and substance abuse and that sort of thing. It's a community that's really struggling to recover on the whole. So what is the status of the Aborigine community in Australia, Vic?
It's a great question. The percentages, the numbers and the percentages of Aboriginal people, students, etc., who are incarcerated for various crimes and suffering from addiction, as you said, drugs or alcohol, etc., is way out of proportion to the percentages of the general population. That said, there's a very strong awareness that there's a belated, or if I can stop for a second, our neighbours in New Zealand, there was a treaty called the Treaty of Waitangi, which, and it's over 150 years ago, recognized the place of the Maori people, that they need an equal place in the sun. Mm. Australia was very late in the game in coming to that realization. And only in 1967, which was, you know, almost 200 years after non-Indigenous people arrived in this country, were Aboriginal people recognized as people included in the census and given the vote, etc. So white Australia, if I can use that phrase, was late in the day in coming to that recognition. That said, there's a lot of work happening to attempt to redress that balance. And in fact, in the middle of Australia, some listeners might be familiar, there's something called Ayers Rock. It's this giant, magnificent rock.
Yes, a famous picnic took place there at Ayers Rock, right?
Exactly right. Now, the indigenous name, Aboriginal name for that is Uluru, U-L-U-R-U. And just a couple of years ago, there was what was issued was called the Uluru Statement of the Heart. And it is an appeal by the Aboriginal people, supported by many non-Indigenous people, for there to be an Aboriginal voice in the Constitution. Australia has a Constitution. And for there to be an Aboriginal voice to government through the Statement of the Heart. So it is being discussed, should there be a separate Aboriginal voice, should there not be, so it's an ongoing debate. As I say, we as a non-Indigenous Australia were late in coming to this party in that regard, but there is awareness that there needs to be redress, and it's basically a work in progress.
All right, Vic, we've got to get to news, but before we do, I have to ask you about the story. An Israeli legal organization is urging Australian Holocaust survivors to join a class action against insurance companies. These people have lived through the Holocaust. Why do they need to join a class action against insurance companies?
And this is something which applies to survivors everywhere around the world, clearly, not just in Australia.
Yes.
So it's an organization with some listeners, many would be aware of it, called Shirat HaDin,
yes,
the Israel Law Center. And they do outstanding work over the years in bringing legal action against countries or against banks which have accounts of terrorists, for example. If God forbid there's a terrorist action somewhere, this organization, the Israel Law Center, will put a lien, will get a freeze on whatever the country the terrorist might have come from, etc., on their assets. And they've been very successful over the years. What they are now saying, they just issued, basically what they're saying is that they estimate, it's only an estimate, that there's about $200 billion in unpaid payouts from Jewish policyholders from the Holocaust era.
Wow.
Funds which are owed to survivors and obviously now to their families. And what they're saying is, with survivors being, you know, in the later stages of their lives, etc., they want to have a class action against insurance companies which have failed to pay out Holocaust survivors and or their descendants. So saying basically the more survivors that can join this class action, the stronger their case. And so obviously this applies to survivors everywhere and not just in Australia.
Vic Aladef, thank you
so
much.
By the way,
yes.
Sorry, Kat, and they're calling it Project Last Chance.
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. Shirat HaDin, thank you so much. It's been lovely speaking to you. Howard will be back on your radio for next week.
Good to chat.
Thank you so much. God bless. That's Vic Aladef. He's a former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, and that was the Australia Report.